$1,000 to U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Payment of restitution as a condition of supervision is limited amount to losses caused by the specific conduct that is the basis of the offense of conviction. And we go back to Huey versus United States, which I heard earlier today. That said, that under the...
Do you agree that the district court and that the resentencing you're urging would have discretion to reconsider the fine?
I think he said that there was no fine, and for good reason.
Yeah, because he ordered what would be a full fine as restitution. In my take on this case,
I think under Bertucci the record is as it stands. I think that the court made a finding.
Resentencing is resentencing, right?
Well, I think that
so he would have. He would be precluded from reconsidering the fine?
I believe so.
Pardon?
I believe so, Your Honor.
And under what case?
Bertucci said that you use the record as it stands on the restitution.
I'm saying the record would change. The sentence would change.
Well, the judge made a finding that my client was unable to pay... a fine, and there would be no fine in the case.
Then he's unable to pay the restitution, and why are we here?
In part because my client can't pay the restitution, but he ordered the restitution because the judge felt it was appropriate. We don't feel it was appropriate, which is why we appealed the case.
Okay.
The judge could have ordered a fine, certainly. My client received 6 months in custody for the sale of eagle feathers.
What I understand that you don't agree with what the district court did in this case to calculate the restitution amount. You've gone all the way to 130. Isn't that coming close to sort of what the district court expressly said we shouldn't be doing, which is going to the illegal market price?
The $130 was based on the sale price. In other words, that was what U.S. Fish and Wildlife was out of pocket in buying the eagle feathers. And make no mistake, the government still has the eagle feathers.
Right, but I guess I'm thinking, I understand where the money came from. It
okay.
came from the government coffer to conduct this buy. But I guess I was assuming that because that was the price that was negotiated between your client and the agent or the undercover person, that's the undercover market for it. That's the
I think we could.
Full market price.
I think we could certainly make that argument. And there was testimony during the sentencing hearing, which indicate that, for instance, a pair of eagle wings, eagle parts, was worth about $500, and an eagle tail was worth anywhere from $300 to $600. This was individual feathers that were sold. That would be a good indication of what the market value is. But I think the important part is that the loss to the government, which is what restitution really is. Is the $130 that they pay it out of pocket. There is no loss of a bird in this case. So regardless of what the market value is, the loss to the government, and under U.S. versus Frazier, Eighth Circuit said that the restitution cannot exceed the actual provable loss realized by the victim.
But so your theory is that the government's the victim. I think there seems to be some debate, anyway, on how you classify the... I mean, independent of your other argument about where the money should go, but is the government the victim here? Is the eagle the victim? Is society the victim? How do we define that?
The eagle, in this case, certainly was not the victim, at least in part because my client never killed an eagle, and we don't know how the eagle died. The eagle could have died of anthropogenic causes not related to anyone shooting.
We're talking about a fence that encompassed 63 feathers, aren't we?
Yes.
So you can't just talk about the four feathers that were the focus of this, the opinion that there are four feathers came from one juvenile bird. That was not the scope of the offense.
No, the scope of the offense was sale of eagle feathers.
The offense was trafficking.
Yes, exactly. The offense was not taking a bird. The offense was not killing a bird, so I can't see it out the window. The offense was the trafficking, so that the loss isn't the loss of a bird, it's the loss of the $130 that was paid.
I take the government's theory to be that your man was facilitating a market in feathers, and that in conjunction with, I suppose, other people in such a market, causes ultimately the death of birds.
That's certainly a possibility. I don't know that that's true, but that's a good argument. The
well,
point
if that's
is,
a good argument, why shouldn't we affirm? That's their theory as to why the value of the bird is the right amount.
Because, Your Honor, that goes to punishment and not to the amount of restitution in the case. So that, for instance, in U.S. versus... I'm sorry.
Because it's not economic loss.
That's correct.
And that's all that restitution under the case law is about.
Exactly. Cases which prove a proprietary interest.
Critical, because the trafficking's impact on the regulatory interests of the government victim would clearly, in my view, support the fine.
I 100% agree with that, which was why it goes to punishment.
Which is why I'm reminding. I think it's a reminder. I think your answer that it wouldn't be open to reconsideration on remand is simply wrong.
Your 100% agreement that it's goes to fine might not help you on remand.
I think the judge's finding, however, that my client is indigent, and
that's a different issue.
Okay. Well,
but if he were indigent, what would be the basis for restitution then? I mean, you didn't appeal the restitution on the grounds of indigence.
I did not.
Isn't that also a factor on restitution, or am I misremembering the statute?
Under the Mandatory Victims
This wasn't
Restitution
under the Mandatory
Act.
This was a supervised release condition.
Right, but the limits are still the same. The point is that restitution is ordered in cases. I would point out that the U.S. versus Hess case had to do, which the government cited, had to do with a rhinoceros horn. The issue there was about the length of the sentence. He wasn't required to pay restitution for raising a rhinoceros, just like my client shouldn't be ordered to pay restitution for hacking a bird or raising a bird to wild. The issue there was the length of the sentence. And my client got 6 months in custody, which the court determined to be an appropriate sentence. The sentence we haven't appealed. Neither has the government. The sentence stands. That includes the fine. That includes the... there is no question that he ordered restitution as opposed to...
Oh, I think the sentencing packaging doctrine now does come into play. In an unusual way.
The court has determined the sentence.
If we say part of the sentence was inappropriate, then and it's a remand for resentencing, then the court has discretion to consider whether other interrelated, interdependent parts of the sentence need to be revisited.
I would argue that the sentence is...
That's Green and... other cases.
I would argue that the only thing that's been appealed here is the award of restitution, and in other cases, this court has certainly simply addressed that when it's addressed cases, and those are would be such as the cases of Reynolds or Howard or those cases. I think this there's a good point made that. In determining the victim, the government having a proprietary interest in fish and game is what determines restitution. The amount of restitution is the value of the wildlife or the amount the government could have sold the wildlife for. But in this case, even if the government can get the feathers through forfeiture, that's moot because the government actually got the feathers. It can't sell the feathers. So again, there's no loss to the government. There's no taking of a bird.
The government's argued that if the full bird were found live or dead, it could get that by forfeiture.
I'm sure it could.
A hypothetical argument, more or except it's trying to leverage its forfeiture power into loss.
I think it's trying to leverage its forfeiture power into a loss that wasn't shown in this case and that my client didn't plead guilty to. The loss of a wild bird, which we just don't have in this case. There was no taking of a bird. The government has the feathers. Government can't sell the feathers, and its only loss is the $130 it paid for the feathers, which it still has. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time, if I may.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Parsons?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court and Mr. Turner. This appeal stems from one of the largest wildlife trafficking investigations in recent history.
I'm going to start. My concern with this case is what I might call a broad good government concern. Would the government's interest, the government is the only victim here identifiable, would the government's interest in protecting birds justify a $5,000 fine for this defendant's trafficking?
Yes, I believe it does, Your Honor.
But then the dollars don't enhance fish and wildlife, do they? They go into the general treasury.
No, that's not true, Your Honor, actually.
Where would they go that's different than where this restitution is?
Congress has set up an organization called the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has a memorandum agreement with that foundation that creates an escrow account called the Dakota Eagle Restitution Fund, and all funds from these trafficking cases...
Would a criminal fine for violating this statute be directed to that, to Fish and Wildlife, and then to that fund?
I'm not certain if a criminal fine would.
My question.
Yeah, okay. Restitution would.
Fish and Wildlife, by moving the money from fine to restitution, with what I consider a fairly artificial economic loss argument, it manages to enhance its budget, right? It's increasing. Without increasing its appropriations, it's increasing its money.
Well, it's certainly not the intent. And it doesn't go into the budget.
Just stick with... Yeah. Okay. So it's giving money to a foundation.
It's directing it to the congressionally chartered foundation, correct.
Money that if properly assessed in a punishment sense... was in a criminal fine would not be available first to the client, first to Fish and Wildlife's budget, and then to Fish and Wildlife's ability to donate.
And I don't know. Yeah.
The problem I have with this case, because I think your argument that this is economic loss with respect, because there's no dead bird,
okay.
I think it's totally fictitious. So why shouldn't we require this? The punishment to be done the right way.
Well, of course, we did ask for a fine as well, but that was not granted. We asked for both in this case. Restitution was granted, and what the...
They're more readily collectible, aren't they? Or more you suffer worse for not paying a fine, so to speak.
Part of this operation was also crafted in general to address this court's concerns in the Bertucci case. In Bertucci, the restitution was... the court found was kind of a disguised fine. It really was restitution, but it was called a fine, but the court held it really was restitution, and it wasn't statutorily authorized as part of the sentence. So that was one reason that Bertucci was reversed. Here, we followed Bertucci and used the supervised release as the form for the authorization for imposing restitution. But more importantly, in Bertucci, this court acknowledged that there is a loss caused by the trafficking of a bald eagle in particular, and it disagreed with the valuation. There wasn't sufficient evidence documenting what the valuation of an eagle is.
But in Bertucci, though, there was an eagle that had died, correct?
That's true.
And it was linked to the defendant?
They had proof of a full killing of an eagle.
And isn't that different, at least as at least in terms of the factual backdrop, we've got a different situation here.
We do. It's a slightly different situation. But what we do have is genetic DNA proof that at least these four tail feathers came from one dead bald eagle. And so a bald eagle was in the stream of trafficking here without question.
Could you tell why the eagle died?
No. We couldn't tell why the eagle died. There's some, testimony at the hearing and in the PSR that he had access to a bald eagle through a buddy, a full bald eagle, and he wanted to trade it for marijuana. But the convicted counts were the trafficking of a bald eagle in parts through the sale of these feathers. But I don't think there's really any question under this court's precedents and precedents of many courts that the United States, as the court found here, the people of the United States can be a victim in a wildlife trafficking case.
So you don't think there's a requirement of economic loss to the government?
Well, property loss. And then the question is, so how do you value the property
interest of the government or a proprietary?
What property interest? Yeah, I don't understand that, other than the theoretical ability to forfeit.
It's a bald eagle was lost as the result of this. And the cases involving the lobsters in South Africa, the striped bass, deer. I mean, there are plenty of cases that recognize an animal can be a property loss for restitution, including of this court, Oldenschlager.
Not to push it too far, and I don't mean to be fanciful, but we really don't know. An eagle can die of natural causes. That's a loss, but that's a natural loss. So how can we know that this was an unnatural loss that should be the source of the restitution?
It doesn't have to be unnatural loss for an eagle to have been trafficked and for the feathers to come from an eagle that was trafficked. It could be a natural death. He's not charged with the killing. He's charged with
how
trafficking.
How would the government have been deprived of either a property interest or a proprietary interest in the eagle if this trafficking didn't cause the death of an eagle?
Well, the eagle, if an eagle is found, it's sent to the Colorado repository. I mean, it's taken from the wild.
Does a citizen have an obligation to turn it in?
Actually, yes, to report it. Yeah.
Report it?
Yeah.
I thought I recall from a case many years ago that this statute prohibits even picking up the feathers of an eagle that died naturally.
I think, yeah.
That you find in a field or a stream.
I think that's right. You're supposed to call Fish and Wildlife.
We're not talking about we're talking about something a lot more or less, what seems less offensive, if you will, than killing birds.
Yeah,
to sell the feathers.
He may have well been shooting the bird with a shotgun. We just don't know. I mean, I want to be clear. But let me take a stab at my theory here, the government's theory. I think it's true, and we have lots of case law supporting for the fact that when you traffic wildlife, the loss of that wildlife, as the court found here specifically, is a loss to the people, to the United States. If you accept that premise, as Judge Loken in your Chalupnik case, BMG was the mail order distributor of those CDs and DVDs. The court found readily that BMG was a victim in that case. And I would say it's clear the United States was a victim in this case. So the question really becomes, so how do you prove the amount of the loss?
Not in a proprietary sense, in a governmental sense.
In a governmental sense, in a property sense, the way the people of the United States own the lands, own the fish, own the wildlife. I mean, that's...
you can't take that too far.
Not too far, but at least as far as this court's precedents have, in like Oldenschlager, where there was a property interest in eggs that were trafficked.
This room owned the elk. Wandering in.
Well, then the United States does on behalf of the people, and that is what the court found here.
Pets too?
No.
Well, okay.
No.
I mean, this doesn't carry very far.
Well, but this court has affirmed cases involving trafficking of wildlife and being a loss to a particular governmental entity, and other courts have too. But
if you accept that, then what about causation?
Oh.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead with your theory.
I just want to. So, how do you, if the loss here, even if you assume the loss is four juvenile bald eagle tail feathers that absolutely mean that eagle is dead, how do you replace those? How do you determine the replacement cost? And that's where cases like Frazier and like even the Supreme Court's most recent decision in Paroline sometimes you have to give a little leeway in how you value the loss. And when you can't determine an actual fair market value of something, of property or of something that was lost, you can't determine it through fair market value. This court says, and the Supreme Court says, that what you do is come up with some reasonable way to estimate the value. And a good way is replacement cost. This court found, the district court, that replacement cost here was the proper way. The only way you could replace these four bald eagle feathers, even if it's just the feathers that came from a bald eagle, the only way to replace them is through the introduction of a new bald eagle into the wild.
Without any proof of causation.
Well, the causation does rely, you know, that's, you know, reading these cases, it's a fascinating area because causation, if you're talking about strict but-for causation, factual causation, there's no doubt that the feathers, the sale of the feathers itself, happened after the eagle died. So there's no way that the sale of the feathers itself caused the death of an eagle. I can concede that. But what here, when the offense is the trafficking of a bald eagle and its parts, and the trafficking of a, you know, two counts, the trafficking, as the district court found and was on in its findings, that it provided the incentive for these traffickers to collect all these various feathers and bald eagles wherever they came from, and that is part of the causation.
But now you get into Huey. I mean,
that's right.
Without proof of this particular eagle or the group of eagles that the 63 feathers came from,
well,
you don't have restitution linked to the offense of conviction.
We have restitution linked to the trafficking because certainly the parts of a bald eagle, one single juvenile bald eagle, four feathers, were trafficked, without question. I can't tell you how the eagle died, but I can tell you that the four feathers from one eagle were trafficked.
Even if you accept that theory, is there a problem with the full amount of the value of the eagle being assessed against each person who sells a feather from the eagle? Is that like a Paroline problem where the court said we can't tag each of the viewers with the full amount?
It does.
We have to reduce it and come up with some reasonable estimate.
It does.
Why wouldn't that be a problem here in giving the full amount? Because there could be another guy who sold four more feathers or two more feathers. And
that's true.
Under this theory, everybody would pay the full amount of the bird.
Which is not permissible under Paroline. That's true.
Well, it's a different statute, so I don't know if
it's true, a different statute.
Really, we say under Paroline, but under that approach, it wouldn't be permissible. So why isn't that a reason to reduce this amount?
And of course, the evidence was that the bald eagle that the government presented was worth $9,800. And so the court, I think, did incorporate a reduction into its restitution. It said it was a juvenile bald eagle, and it relied on not only our report from our wildlife specialist, but also the court's standing order, forfeiture order.
But wasn't the judge thinking this was the full amount to replace the... Yeah, all right. Now you think the full amount is the proper order?
Yeah. In this case, I think it's commensurate with the crime, and I think that's the ultimate question that they were getting at in Paroline. You have to... What is the role of the defendant's conduct in commensurate with the loss? And a bald eagle cannot live without four tail feathers.
And that's fine talk, not restitution talk.
Well, no, it's restitution law. Paroline is restitution law.
But you have to have a loss caused by the offense, and it has to be an economic loss.
It has to be quantifiable economically anyway.
Do you agree that it has to be economic loss? And if not, why not?
Well, I think if property loss is economic loss, there has to be...
The value of lost property is...
But these cases like the fish cases, the Fourth Circuit case that cited, was that an economic loss to the states or was that...
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, in the lobster case, South African lobsters.
I'm not sure they were saying it was an economic loss to the state. The state didn't own the fish.
It was a...
I think they called it a proprietary.
Proprietary.
Interest.
That's proprietary, pecuniary. different words are thrown around, but in a sense, there is an ownership, at least in some sense, of a state in these wildlife.
Okay.
And that is compensable through restitution. And of course, in Paroline, it wasn't strictly economic either. It was mental anguish, but I think that was dependent on the specific statute at issue. I think this was a very reasonable, modest restitution order based on DNA, based on proof of trafficking that involved at least one dead juvenile eagle. And I think there's no reason, this was not an abuse of discretion in our view, Your Honor, and none of the factual findings by the court were clear error. We ask you affirm.
Mr. Turner for rebuttal.
Thank you. If there's a specific case you want to talk about, we can. I've got a couple points I'd like to make. First of all, one of the things that the court looked to was a valuation table to determine, which is a fine schedule. But I would point out that that valuation table has list parts at $500, not the $5,000. So it has a separate amount for parts. Whether that means two wings, a full tail, a head, talons.
That table was for fines, right? That seemed like, I was a little confused on what the sources were for the information, and it sounded like it was sort of rounded off fine numbers.
It is a valuation table promulgated by Fish and Wildlife. It's not negotiated or...
In your sense, is that what the district court relied on more? It almost seemed like you didn't get what the approach you wanted, and the prosecutor was trying to present some evidence of the replacement value, and the court kind of said, well, that replacement value, that study corroborates this fine.
That's
maybe, like, relied on sort of what neither one of you...
I think that's a real good point, which goes to the fact that what we're talking about here is not a replacement of a live eagle, but replacement of feathers. But again, we don't have to replace the feathers because the government already has them.
I made a note. Your addendum, too, is the South Dakota bond schedule.
That's
the government referred to the South Dakota collateral forfeiture schedule. Is that in the record on appeal?
I believe it's the same thing.
Anywhere in your addendum document, anything setting value at $5,000 for a juvenile and $10,000 for
all it has is $5,000 and $10,000, and somebody had to testify that that's what that meant. I don't think that it should be used at all. Frankly, we put it in the.
I couldn't even find those numbers in. Parsing through that.
It's a terribly confusing table.
Okay.
I put it in there. So that because the court had mentioned it, and I thought the court might want to see it. It's a standing order, and the court used it as part of its basis. Quick note on Paroline before I run out of time. The majority opinion and both of the dissents cited to Huey and were very, very careful about delineating what restitution was for Paroline as opposed to the person who initially abused or took the pictures, abused the child or took the pictures. It said, look, we can't order restitution for the original crime of creating the pornography or abusing the girl. We can only give restitution for the re-victimization or the crime of reviewing and distributing, which has further damages to this little girl, now a woman. That is exactly what Huey says, and that's what we have here. There may have been a separate crime of killing an eagle for which replacement cost might be a restitution that could be argued. What we have here is trafficking in feathers. There's no proprietary interest that the government has. Bengus is the South Africa lobster cases. The court found that because South Africa could have taken those lobsters and sold them at market value, that appropriate restitution was the market value of those lobsters. Same thing with Ocean Pro Limited, which said that with respect to bass taken out of those waters for Maryland and Virginia, those states could have seized those, sold them, and that's an appropriate amount of restitution. The government can seize the feathers. They already have. the amount that they're out of pocket, the amount of loss, is $130 that the Fish and Wildlife paid. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Interesting case and quite unusual, and I think argument has been helpful, and you briefed it well, and we'll take it under advisement. Thank you. Does that complete the morning's arguments?
Yes, Your Honor.
Very good. Well, court's in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.